CBS World News takes you now to London for a special broadcast by Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, who will be interviewed by CBS correspondent Bob Trout at the opening ceremonies of a new club for merchant seamen somewhere in Great Britain.
This is Scotland. It's 8:30 in the evening, a dark night in Glasgow, Scotland's great fort on the River Clyde. Here tonight, in a building that was a hotel just a week ago, there's opening a club for American merchant seamen. The first American merchant sailors club in any foreign port, but not the last. Glasgow's club is the beginning. It's the first of several to be established in British ports, and there will be other clubs in other countries for the men who sail the seas under the American flag. Since early morning, American seamen have been coming into the club to register for the 150 beds which were being used by hotel guests just a week ago. In a week, the building has been transformed by British workmen rushing the job for the United Seamen Service under the auspices of the War Shipping Administration. And now tonight for the opening, the guests are gathered in what, beginning tomorrow, will be the club dining room. A picture of the President of the United States is on the cream-colored wall, and the American flag hangs behind the speaker's platform. And here on that platform are the guest of honor, Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, who has just come over to Scotland after her trip to Northern Ireland, Mr. P.J. Noel Baker, Parliamentary Secretary to the Ministry of War Transport, the Lord Provost of the City of Glasgow, Mr. John M. Bigger, wearing his chain of office, and Mr. Charles Hogan, the War Shipping Administration's representative in the United Kingdom. First, here is the Lord Provost.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have pleasure in introducing to you Mr. Noel Baker, who is the Parliamentary Secretary of the Ministry of War Transport. Mr. Baker.
I've come to Glasgow to represent the British government tonight. The officers and men of our merchant navy have been shown amazing kindness in the United States. Kindness which neither they nor this nation will ever forget. It would make us very happy if we could do as much for your seamen here. It would make me very happy if this club and hostel were the gift of the ministry from which I come. But your government, through Mr. Hogan, is making such magnificent provision for your seamen in every port to which they go that there's nothing left for us but the small acts of administrative and personal friendship by which we try to show the gratitude we feel. Any help that we can give you, Mr. Hogan, official or personal, is yours to command. Apart from saying that, my task tonight is very simple. It is first to bring to your guest and opener the greetings of her multitudinous British friends. Mrs. Roosevelt, our people have made you welcome, not only because you're the First Lady of the United States, not only because you're the partner of a man to whom we owe so much. They've made you welcome for yourself, because you've touched their minds and hearts, because they've recognized in you a great woman citizen of the world. And here in this northern port where the people live by shipping, where day by day our great armadas come and go, they make you welcome also because before all else, you are a Roosevelt. All the Roosevelts. All the Roosevelts have always been happiest on the sea. The first President Roosevelt loved ships and sailors. The present President Roosevelt so loves the sea that he even chose a warship on the ocean as the place to sign the Atlantic Charter, the greatest instrument of human freedom in the history of mankind. Second, in the name of my ministry, of the British government and of the British people, I have to greet and thank the American seamen who are here. We know now that the United Nations are already stronger in every way than the Axis can ever hope to be. But we know also that our strength will not avail us if we lose our lines across the sea. and we know all too well the risks which merchant seamen run. At sea, this war is far more terrible than the last, and its dangers the American merchant seamen must daily face. Not long ago, I came here to Glasgow to meet survivors from the summer convoys to northern Russia. Those men had faced scores of U-boats. They were attacked by torpedo-carrying aircraft flying almost wing to wing. They were bombed. Always they had the nightmare of frostbite from immersion in the Arctic Sea. Many of them had had their vessels sunk, had been bombed on shore in Russia. Some on their voyage back had been sunk again. Yet my memory of them is only of their courage, their laughter, their desire to get to sea again. Only yesterday there came into my ministry some stories of their gallant deeds. I'll give you two, in the plain, unvarnished, official language in which they came to me. A second officer showed good seamanship and courage in severe conditions by keeping 21 survivors alive and in good heart on rafts for 13 days in the Arctic seas. An engineer displayed outstanding courage and devotion to duty in the engine room with water pouring down the ventilator. Mrs. Roosevelt, already the United States have played a mighty part in winning the victory which lies ahead. Bataan, the battles of Midway Island and the Coral Sea, the fortresses over France, the American Air Force in Egypt, the President's brilliant new triumph in French North Africa, none of these things do we forget. But we know that it's on the sea that the greatest American contribution has been made. American shipbuilders, American ships, American seamen have saved the cause of freedom from defeat. 24 years ago today, the armistice was signed which silenced the drum fire along the front in France. What will happen this time? Shall we have to fight again a quarter of a century from now? No. We are resolved with your president, your Congress, and your people that this shall be the last war for human freedom. We are resolved that at long last it shall bring to us and to all men freedom from fear and oppression and ignorance and want. And when the fighting's over, I hope that none of our governments will forget the debt they owe to the merchant seamen, in whose hands, above all others, the cause of freedom lay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of introducing to you Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of the President of the United States of America. The success of our Allied arms has been and is dependent upon the production and increasing production of the workers in America and in Britain. In this, the most important industrial area of Scotland, we have great responsibilities for the production of munitions of war, and we are pleased to receive Mrs. Roosevelt here in order that she may be informed of the intensity of the efforts of the workers on the Clyde to do their duty as they expect the men in the field to do theirs. Tonight, we are opening a hostel for those members of the American Merchant Navy who, in the prosecution of their duties, have become beleaguered on the high seas. This place will be to these men a center of comfort and friendship, and give to them a sense of homeliness and the home comforts to which they can look forward when the catastrophe is overcome. I have great pleasure in calling on Mistress Roosevelt to address you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very pleasant thing to be in Scotland and in Glasgow. And I hardly could fail to realize that the workers here who know what it means to serve on the sea will work as hard as they can to make it really safe to be on the sea again and have those seas free for the world to sail. I am very happy to be able to dedicate on this side of the water the first club for American merchant marine seamen in the British Isles. In a way, this is just a continuation of the ceremony which I attended on the other side of the Atlantic when Major and Mrs. Kermit Roosevelt donated their home for the duration of the war to be used as a recuperation center for torpedoed seamen. It seems to me that no men have more courage than the men serving in our merchant marines. Many of them have lost their lives in getting goods across the water in these dangerous times, and yet they go on manning these ships which carry the supplies across the seas and without which the war could not be successfully waged. They have little public recognition, and yet among them there are many heroes. They know what it is like not only to be torpedoed and thrown into the sea, but to be machine-gunned and to be picked up after having spent hours in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. They know what it is like to suffer from thirst under equatorial suns. They have seen their friends suffer and die beside them. And yet, they go back to do the job that needs to be done. I'm glad that this first club is only a beginning and that more are planned in every great port in the world so that men will be able to find beds and food and cigarettes and papers wherever they land. They will hear American voices and be made welcome by American people. And they will have the companionship of other seamen who have known the same dangers and shown the same courage. Let us hope that the day is not long distant when the men who sail the seven seas may find it an adventure to see new countries, but not look constantly for an enemy lurking beneath the water or in the air. I believe that we are seeing now the beginning of the end of Axis domination in the Mediterranean. And this in itself is vastly important, for it means more supplies sent to Russia to aid her in her magnificent defense of our country. Easy access from the Atlantic on to India, and the possibility of bringing to play against our enemies, the Japanese, certain forces which they thought were safely stopped by Axis domination of the Mediterranean. The island of Malta, which has been so heroic, may at last have relief. Greece may be fed, and the war may march forward to its inevitably successful end. I congratulate the United Seamen's Service on the beginning which they have made in meeting the needs of our valiant merchant seamen. And I wish them all good luck now and in the future.
CBS World News has brought you Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt speaking from Glasgow, Scotland. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.